Money is a touchy subject for a lot of podcasters, and usually in two different ways. Either you're frustrated that you can't make any, or you're against the idea of making any at all. To the prior, I sympathize. It can feel pretty crappy when you have a few hundred people who swear they love listening to your content, but none of them seem to like it enough to spend $3 a month to support you on Patreon. That might leave you thinking, how much do they really like my show? And that can be a real morale killer. To the latter, I don't sympathize necessarily, but I do understand the trepidation. Money can make some people feel really uncomfortable. And if you're one of those people, you likely feel that trying to make money with your podcast is, in some form, a betrayal of your listeners, or possibly of your values, like selling out or having your heart in the wrong place. In today's episode, I'm going to preface an approach to monetization that's unique from the ones you've heard before, one that I'm hopeful will get you thinking differently about monetization and money in general, and one that's capable of generating around $10,000 a month in revenue pretty easily. So stick around, because I'm Tanner Campbell, and this is Help the Podcast. I view money as an enabler. If you have money, be it a lot or a little, you're able to do things that you otherwise could not do. For example, if you had $10, you could buy 10 90-cent lollipops, which is 10 lollipops more than you could have bought with $0. As another example, if you had $10, you could donate $10 more to a cause you really cared about than you could if you had $0. And if you were really ambitious and had $100, you could register a domain name, open up a Shopify store, design some t-shirts, sell some t-shirts, and develop a small business that sustained your needs and funneled regular donations of significant value to charity. In my view, the more money you have, the more neat and helpful things you can do, both for yourself and for those you seek to serve. Tanner, you just mentioned $10,000 a month, and that is a lot of lollipops and a lot of t-shirts and a lot of donations. It sure is. And it probably seems like an impossible amount of money for your podcast to generate. But before I talk to you about why it's not impossible, let me first talk to you about the current means of monetization, the most common too. Patreon and Patreon-esque platforms are perhaps the most popular. So this is Supercast, Glow.fm, places like this. But there are two big problems with these kinds of platforms and this style of monetization. The first is that they require additional work from you to do well, to work well, to benefit you in a way that's significant. The average supporter on Patreon is providing $12 a month to supporters that they support. And generally, that takes the form of giving, on average, $6 a month to each individual creator they support. So that means, on average, most people are giving $6 to each patron creator that they support, and most people, on average, support two creators on the platform. But this support comes at a steep cost to the creators. Namely, the creator has to create more than they already create. You already make a podcast. And now you've got to make extra episodes, or moderate a Slack or Discord channel, or create swag items, or manage shipping and delivery of swag items. And all that adds up to spending more time than you're already spending on your podcast, which is significant. So as your revenues increase, so too do your costs and your labor. And this isn't sustainable for most creators. It's also worth noting that, according to Patreon's own blog, which I will link in the show notes, you'll need about 30,000 subscribers to make just $1,000 a month. Now, $1,000 might seem like a good amount of money to earn per month, but 30,000 subscribers is going to take you probably more than 2 years, that's in most cases, to grow. So you're working a full-time job, you're moonlighting as a content creator, and you're struggling for just about 2 years before you're making enough money to pay your rent. Or maybe not. But if you're not aiming to pay your rent, then you're doing just as much work, for just as long, before you're making significant contributions to causes you care about, or contributing more meaningful to the communities you wish to serve. And I would be remiss if I did not take a moment to mention the labor, your time, and what it is worth in this form of monetization. Most podcasters are spending 80 hours a month creating their podcasts. The production, the promoting, the social media management, the whole nine yards. And then they're spending another 5 to 10 hours a week keeping promises to their supporters. Extra episodes, creating t-shirts, having live hangouts, that sort of thing. That's another 40 hours a month, maybe. So you're talking 30 hours a week, or 120 hours a month, for $1,000? That makes your time worth $9 an hour. That is not a livable wage. And hearing it said out loud like that might make you not feel so good about not making so much money. Now, I can hear some of you screaming into your podcatcher that I'm not trying to make money. But can I ask you why not? If you're really in this to serve your community, and I don't mean your local community, although it could mean that, I mean the community of listeners that enjoy your content, you are not doing them any favors by not making the sort of money necessary to do more for them. Remember what I said before about the lollipops? Well, if you have $1,000 a month, you can give back $1,000 a month worth of fill in the blank. But if you had $10,000 a month, well, you could give back a lot more. In podcasting, money isn't your enemy. It's an enabler that will enable you to do more for others, both by giving you the budget to do so and by providing you with the sort of personal income necessary to free you from your day job and serve the communities you care about full time. In my view, that is a win-win. The second most common form of monetization is traditional advertising. These are commercials or adverts, either pre-recorded or read by hosts in the pre-roll, the mid-roll, and the post-roll. With this form of monetization, you're going to have a different but equally frustrating problem. Advertisers care about the size of your audience because they know that for every X amount of listeners who hear their advert, they're going to get Y amount of customers. It is cold, calculated math to them, and they pay you by CPM. That's cost per thousand impressions, or in our case, listeners. Before podcasting became mainstream and podcast stats and analytics became more accurate, podcasters could command a $35 CPM, meaning for every 1,000 listeners, they'd earn $35. But now, that $35 CPM is being split between the podcaster and the service doing the ad buying and providing the insertion, making your CPM, and this is generous, something more like $7. But assuming you could still command a $35 CPM, how many sets of 1,000 would you need at $35 each to earn $1,000 a month? Just about 30,000. There's a reason that this number is the same in both types of monetization, 30,000 listeners. And that reason is the math I mentioned earlier. Only 1 to 3% of listeners, on average, are going to answer a call to action and convert into a paying customer. It doesn't matter if that's a request to buy a pair of MeUndies, or subscribe to Dollar Shave Club, or a request to become a paying patron for extra episodes or bonus content. Selling something to people is hard to do. And frankly, most people, and this is increasingly true, don't want to be sold to, especially in the middle of their free time as they're listening to a podcast that they enjoy. It's downright offensive to most. So to make $10,000 a month off the back of your podcast, you're going to need an audience of roughly 100,000, and you're going to need to be both running ads and providing a Patreon-type offering. That's 100 sets of 1,000 for your advertisers at this fictitious $35 CPM, which you will not get. And that makes $3,500, and about 750 Patreon supporters at the average of $6 apiece for another $4,500, and you're still not at 10,000. But you are, at this point, after taxes and all of that, making a fairly decent full-time living. But an audience of 100,000 individual listeners takes years to build, and most podcasters do not have years to dedicate to the effort before they see significant return. Furthermore, most podcasters flat out don't have what it takes to grow a show to that size. Their content is generally too niche, their marketing skills are generally limited, and their business sense is too. And again, I can hear you, but I'm not running a business. And that's true, not literally. But if you're planning on getting to a place where you make enough money to quit your job, service your community full-time, and impact the world on your own terms, and to a greater extent, you would do well to act as though what you're running is a business, because with any luck, It's going to grow to be the thing that pays your bills and gives you the power to do more for the communities you care so much about. It's not a business in the literal sense yet, but it could be, and that would be a good thing because of the good things it would then enable you to do. I advocate for a different method of doing this, one that works much faster, requires significantly less sustained effort and upfront investment of both time and money, and provides a ton more value for your audience than a Patreon account or a Dollar Shave Club ad. Every Saturday, I host a free presentation on what I call a podcast revenue machine. And while the name might sound a little hokey or car salesman-y, neither the concept nor the content of that presentation are. The premise of the idea of a podcast revenue machine is that you are not properly utilizing your position as a content creator and you are attempting to monetize the wrong thing, namely your podcast, instead of the correct thing, your knowledge and passion. A podcast revenue machine is all about creating revenue for your grander endeavors, saving the whales, paying your bills, or giving more back to your community, by leveraging your podcast as a platform for proving your authority and value. This transforms your podcast into something that is increasingly rare these days, an ad-free experience with no requests for patron support. And this makes the experience 100% more valuable to the listener because it becomes 100% about giving and serving and 0% about asking and advertising. The result of a properly configured and maintained podcast revenue machine is, to start, about $10,000 a month in gross revenue for you. Now, I have yet to get any of these to work as well as $100,000 a month, but maybe sometime in the future. But $10,000, yeah, that's actually kind of easy and has way more to do with shifting your thinking about where your value comes from than it does in creating a super amazing podcast or anything else. I, of course, don't have the time in this short-form, less-than-15-minute style podcast to go into that full presentation here. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Go to portlandpod.com/presentation and register for this Saturday's free presentation that'll flesh this idea out in a lot more detail. It doesn't matter when you're listening to this. I do these every Saturday. The presentation will run between 30 and 40 minutes, and it will give you the outline of a podcast revenue machine so you can get started building your own. And just to be clear, there is no risk or cost to you in registering to view this presentation. It's free, and again, I do it every Saturday. So I hope you'll take the time to check that out and learn more about this alternative method of creating monetization with your podcast with what I call a podcast revenue machine. Thanks for listening today. In our next episode, I'll be featuring this program's first interview as I sit down with Peter Greco of Remaster.com. Peter is going to explain Remaster to us, a tool that's making some big waves in the audio industry, especially for podcasters, and one you can learn more about in the show notes of this episode. Pete is a real brain when it comes to audio and is the foremost authority on Remaster. So I'm looking forward to sharing his thoughts with all of you. So until next time, happy podcasting and take care.